Dear friends in Christ Jesus, once again I extend you all a very warm welcome to you to this Eucharistic celebration, second week, second Sunday in ordinary time. Several years ago in Palestine, a couple rode a tour bus through Israel's countryside, nearly mesmerized as the tour guide explained the scenery, the history, and the lifestyle. In his description, he included a heartwarming portrayal of the ancient shepherd and sheep relationship. He expounded on how the shepherd builds a relationship with his sheep and how he feeds them and gently cares for them. He pointed out that the shepherd does not drive the sheep but leads them, and that the shepherd does not need to be harsh with them because they hear his voice and follow, and so on. He then explained how on a previous tour, things had backfired for him as he was giving this same speech about sheep and shepherds. In the midst of spinning his pastoral tale, he suddenly realized he had lost his audience. They were all staring out the bus window at a guy chasing a herd of sheep. He was throwing rocks at them, whacking them with sticks, and sicking the sheep dog on them. The sheep driving man in the field had destroyed the guide's enchanting narrative. The guide told us that he told the couple that he had been so agitated that he jumped up the bus, ran into the field, and accosted the man. "Do you understand what you have just done to me?" he asked. "I was spinning a charming story about the gentle ways of shepherds, and here you are mistreating, hazing, and assaulting these sheep. What's going on?" For a moment, a bewildered look froze on the face of the poor sheep chaser. Then the light dawned and he blurted out, "Man, you have got me all wrong. I am not a shepherd, I am a butcher." Dear friends in Christ Jesus, in the gospel today, John the Baptist, he calls Jesus the Lamb of God. I don't suppose most people would consider it a compliment to be called a lamb. Lambs are weak, they are not very smart. John's intent was not to insult Jesus when he calls Lamb of God, although Prophet Isaiah had prophesied 700 years earlier that Jesus would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. It's not insult from John, and John himself, he acknowledged Jesus, "This is the one I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Although John, he was 6 months older than Jesus, he said Jesus existed before him. This could be only mean if Jesus was more than a son of the carpenter. Jesus could have existed before John only if he was an angel or God. That is why he says, He was before me. And also, John did not have to guess Jesus' identity, whether he was angel or God. He did not have to guess Jesus' identity because it was revealed to him at Jesus' baptism. John testified that, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." Jesus is not the son of the carpenter from Nazareth. He is the Son of God. Why didn't John just say that, "Behold, Son of God"? He pointed to his disciples. Why did he call Jesus the Lamb of God? John called Jesus the Lamb because it was descriptive of what Jesus had come to do, to take away the sin of the world. During the Old Testament times, God had commanded his people to sacrifice lambs, among other animals, for their sins. God did this to teach his people that he does not deal with sin lightly. The punishment for sin is death. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. Accordingly, the lambs offered for the sins of the people were butchered and burned, not just penned up. In the same way, Jesus came to give up his life to pay for our sins. Not just spend few years away from the glories of heaven. He had to do this because the lambs sacrificed during Old Testament times could not really pay for the sins of the people. Animal sacrifices were only foreshadowed, and that put off paying the real debt of sin, because human sin can only be paid for with the human blood. That is why God's Son became the son of the carpenter, so that he had the right currency, the human flesh and blood, to pay for our sins. There are other similarities between Jesus and the lambs sacrificed during the Old Testament times. The lambs offered to God were to be without any physical defects, because God wanted his people to know that he would only accept a perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus was that kind of lamb. His fleece was as white as snow, as his life was not even smudged by one sin. Like quality wool that's worth knitting into mittens to protect from the cold, Jesus' perfect life covers our sins and protects us from God's wrath. Since Jesus came to do all this for us, it's no wonder John the Baptist in the Gospel, he was excited to see him like a person seeing a mountain for the first time. John exclaimed, "Hey, look!" Do we get that excitement about Jesus? Do we shout, "Look," so that others take notice of Jesus? Or have we become too familiar with him, like the person who gets so familiar with the wonderful view of the mountains outside his kitchen window that he does not even look up when a first-time visitor exclaims, "Look at the view"? We won't take Jesus for granted when we keep reminding ourselves what it is he did for us. We will be like the carpenter who carved a sheep out of wood and attached to it to a cathedral steeple, cathedral tower. He did this because he did not want to forget what a sheep had done for him. You see, one day while that carpenter was working on the cathedral tower, he slipped and fell. He should have been killed but he walked away without a scratch. Why? Because when he fell, a flock of sheep happened to be passing by underneath. Instead of landing on the ground, the carpenter landed on one of the sheep, and it broke his fall. That sheep, however, was crushed to death. Thankful to the sheep that had given its life for his, the carpenter wanted to leave a lasting memorial. That is why he carved a sheep out of wood and attached it to the tower of the cathedral. It was the carpenter's way of saying to the world, "Look at the sheep that saved me." Although we may not think that we are in danger of slipping or falling to our death, as that carpenter almost did, the truth is, it happens to us every day. Whenever we complain about the way our neighbor shovels or does not shovel the sidewalk, or whenever we make fun of our colleagues, neighbors, classmates' clothes, whenever we roll our eyes when our parents ask us to do something, or whenever we crumble about our leaders, we sin and we fall from God's hates. While each fall should kill us, it does not, because we land on the Lamb of God, the Lamb who was crushed for our sins, who was crushed for our iniquities. And that is why John the Baptist, when he looked at Jesus, "Behold, Lamb of God," he exclaimed. But can we really be sure that we land on the Lamb of God when we sin? I mean, that carpenter was fortunate that a flock of sheep was passing by when he fell. What if only one sheep had been below? Would he have landed on it? Or what if all the workmen had fallen from the tower? Would one sheep have been able to break their fall? Probably not. So how can we be so confident that this carpenter of Nazareth has broken the world's fall into sin? We can be confident that Jesus has taken away the sins of the world, and therefore our sins, because he is more than a son of the carpenter from Nazareth. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God, who is the breath and the strength to bear the world's sin. That is why we can be confident that when we fall from God's glory, God's expectation, we land on Jesus and are spared God's punishment for sin. We also can be certain that there is room for more people, for all people on Jesus' back. That is why we won't keep Jesus to ourselves. Like John the Baptist, he introduced to Andrew in the gospel, and then Andrew brought his brother Peter, and we are called to bring others to Christ to experience the salvation and the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has brought upon the humanity. Like the Samuel in the first reading, and we need to open up, we need to surrender ourselves to Jesus. "Lord, here I am, Lord, and you speak, let me lend my ear to you, let me listen to you." And we need to have that humility and surrender, like the Samuel in the Old Testament, as he was listening to God's voice. And may we also shout out, "Jesus, the Lamb of God, who take away the sins of the world." And may we also surrender to him like Samuel in the Old Testament. Amen.